evening. All right, let's turn those lights down a little bit so you can get a good look. I'm going to show you some pictures tonight. Whoa. And as many of you know, this last week we spent in El Salvador, myself and my daughter. And so it was exciting to go with her. And I just want to share with you a little bit tonight about how it went, kind of a little bit of history of why we're even in El Salvador, and those kinds of things. For the sake of those who might be listening on the internet later, or maybe getting a CD copy of tonight's presentation, these photos that I'm going to show will be available at our website. At the photo gallery on the left, you click on it, and then you go to year 2010, and you'll find these pictures that we're going to talk about tonight posted there. So let's pray. Father, thank you for a wonderful time of worship. Thank you for being able to come right into your presence. Father, I thank you for getting myself and Lindsay to El Salvador and back home safely. Thank you for the work that got accomplished there. I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us tonight with this report. And also, Lord, challenge us. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go back a couple of years before I show you some pictures of this latest trip. Here is a family that is a very good friends of this fellowship. That is David and Kathy Porter, and their son Jonah, and their daughter Madeline. She goes by Maddie. They also have another son named Sam, who's older. We've met him. And they have two older daughters, both who are now married, and both who are now giving them grandchildren. And so they're grandparents. And we got to know them a few years ago. They were serving as missionaries here in Juarez, Mexico. And they were working right across the border, leading teams into Mexico, serving the people there in various capacity. Spent a couple years there, and over their time there, they came to our fellowship. They became a part of our fellowship. And we've just really grown to love them and care about them a lot. They're just a great, great family and great, great witnesses for Jesus Christ. They left the mission field in Juarez. They felt God's calling off the mission field in Juarez. And so they went back to their home church, which is in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, a place called Calvary Chapel, Vancouver. And they had their antennas up, wondering what was next for them, not sure where they were going to go, and there were some connections made up at that church that led their fellowship to begin getting involved in a real little village, a city called San Julian in El Salvador, Central America. And so they began going on some mission trips down there, and various mission trips with their church, and I was invited along on one of their trips several years ago, and so I went down with them and have been in San Julian before. So they were feeling the call upon their lives. You may remember about a year and a half ago, we had them here at our church. And they were praying about moving to San Julian. And so they came and they shared at our pulpit on Sunday. We told you about what they were planning to do. We asked you to be praying for them. And many of you have been praying for them and also raising support for them in order to make that happen. On the night before they left El Paso, we had them over to my house, and we had some folks over who were interested in supporting them and praying for them, and we laid hands on them and prayed for them. At this point, they still didn't know if they were going to go to San Julian, but in January of this year, they went. They traveled all the way to San Julian, and they have made their home there. David and Kathy, Jonah and Maddie. And they've left their grandchildren. They've left all that they know is familiar. And now they are in this little place called San Julian. And it's an amazing sacrifice what they have done. And their love for the people there is amazing. And the things that God is doing in and through them is amazing. But I got to tell you, I've been to San Julian twice. I've spent 2 weeks there. Not sure I could make 2 months, let alone move my family there. The conditions are difficult. It's, my first trip there, I was sick for most of the week, still preaching or trying to. Real sick, unsanitary conditions. There's a lot of violence in El Salvador. There's a lot of gang activity. You may have heard of the gangs MS-16, MS-13. And there's various other versions. Those gangs were started right there in San Salvador, which is the capital of El Salvador. There isn't a whole lot. There's no gang activity in that city, San Julian. But dangerous place. So one of the kids have been having the hardest time with the move. Can you imagine? And you think about it, parents. You feel called to go to the mission field. But you have children, and you're bringing them along, and they're kind of like, I don't know if I was called, but I got to go, And so Jonah and Maddie have been taken out of their American life, and they're being homeschooled in their little house there at San Julian. And when I was invited to go and be a part of this mission trip to visit with them and work with them and do some pastors' conferences, Kathy had Facebooked my wife and just said, Maddie's really struggling. It would be so cool if you brought your daughter. Because Lindsay and Maddie were really good friends. And we prayed about that and we thought about it and we said, it's always a little risky. You think about it. This would be her first trip. I didn't let her out of my sight. And Kathy sure kept a good eye on her as well. But we brought Lindsay along. So this is the first night that we got there, and they love cornmeal. It is not available anywhere in San Julian, so we brought some for them. They were so excited about that, and it was a surprise for Maddie that Lindsay was coming. So when we showed up at their front door in San Julian, she was just kind of in there, oh, no big deal, Pastor Terry, so what? But then Lindsay came in, and she cried. And there was an embrace, and they just, it's just sweet. That's Jonah. He loves sunflower seeds. And so we brought him as much sunflower seeds as we could fit, along with the other stuff. And so he's very excited about that. And that's the reunion of Lindsay and Maddie when they first got there. And so they had a week together that they'd get to hang out. And by the way, both of them began to play an active role in the activities that we had for that week. That is the front porch where porters live. And it's a very beautiful place. Maybe it's about 1,000 square feet. They do have two bedrooms. They have a little living area. And they do have indoor bathrooms, which is very, very cool. Very, very cool there. Not everybody has indoor bathrooms. This is where Lindsay stayed basically with Kathy and Dave, and they have some other people there that help out. And then there's another house right down the block where me and the other guys on the team stayed, and just for the nights. But this was kind of home, you know, headquarters for us while we were there. This is a picture of their backyard. They were lucky to get that wall built before they moved in. In fact, they made that as part of their lease agreement, because just on the other side of that wall is public restrooms. And so, and one apartment, not even apartment, just temporary housing for people who need places to stay in the area. So they covered that in. That's another picture of their backyard, and why I wanted to show you, there's that wall that's protecting them. And why I wanted to show you this was, if you see over there, there's their washer. Their washer's in the back. And that washer, they bought it, but they got ripped off. It just, boop, 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 when it gets going, you know, there's something wrong with the timing. And so they've been trying to get that fixed, but they haven't been able to. And so they can still use it, but it's a drag for them. They have to go in and out, you know, and rearrange the clothing. And so I wanted to show that picture to our church tonight because I want to take a collection and buy them a new washer. I want to buy them a new washer, a new one they can get for $400 to $500. I'd like for us to chip in. We'll send the money down, and they can go get a washer in San Salvador. They've got a roof like you'd find in the biblical times. They can go up on their roof from inside. And so this is Maddie and Lindsay going up on their roof. They did that quite a bit last week, I understand. And they stood on the roof, and you can just get a good view of the city of San Julian. That's kind of a picture of them up on the roof. Why is it open? It's because the landlord of that particular property wants to add a second level. And so they're going to be enclosing that eventually, and so they'll have a second story, which will be pretty neat. But, you know, you can look out there. You can see San Julian is a beautiful place. It's mountainous, lush vegetation. It rained the entire week we were there. You guys heard Tropical Storm Matthew? That just missed us while we were there. It actually made landfall in Belize, which is another place that I've been. But we got the back portion of that. And it rained and rained and rained the whole time that we were there. But it's just, you know, it's a cobblestone streets, very poor. There's, you know, like I said, the porters are doing really, really well there. They're living in a decent place. Where we stayed was very well. But there's our neighbors, for example, where I stayed with the guys. Eight people lived in about an 800-square-foot area. And most of the area was in the front where they did all their cooking. And they sold pupusas right out of their home. So it was the front part of it was a kitchen, and then you had this little room in the back, which was cement floor, and that's where eight people lived. That's where eight people slept, right there next to them. I had to show this picture because there's a great story behind this. This is across the street from where I stayed, and those three little boys right outside. The neighbors across the street, and they were outside one day playing with one of those tops. Have you seen those tops? Now, here's what's really funny. This last Easter, I went over to a family's house, and we spent the afternoon there, and they got out these wooden tops. And they're all throwing it. They know how to do it. I'd never even tried a top. And I got obsessed with that top. I could never figure out how to get it to work. And I spent hours that afternoon, could never make it work. And I'll tell you, I brought that top home and I practiced at night in my backyard. I worked on it as hard as I possibly could until finally at last I could do it. I could do the top. And I figured, okay, that's cool. Some weird obsession. But so they're out playing with their top. And I said, hey, let me borrow your top. And they looked at me. Right. This guy's going to throw a top. And I did, man. I nailed it. And they were all, wow, how cool. That is just so neat. So you never know what you're, how the Lord is going to use you, even if you're learning how to use a top. And so those kids have big smiles on their faces. This is the team that I went with. You notice, too, on the left of me from the picture perspective, Dave Porter. He is now there on the ground. The guy to the right of me, I'm going from the picture's perspective, looking at the picture. That's Daniel Gedemy, and he's the pastor at Calvary Chapel Vancouver. And so he's the pastor of their home church. And Kathy, of course, said we were their home church down south. And she had always wanted to get us to meet each other. And so we were able to finally meet each other on the last mission trip. And Daniel has a heart for El Salvador. And I mean, they've been to San Julian 8, 9, 10 times over the last 3 years. Maybe not that much. Twice a year for the last 3 or 4 years. And they've sent teams. And they've developed a real good relationship with the local pastors there in San Julian. The guy furthest over here to the right, his name is Jeff, and he's with Daniel at Calvary Chapel Vancouver. And he is kind of an administrative pastor with Daniel. He has it on his heart to move to San Julian. And in fact, he and his wife were going to move to San Julian, but next week will mark the year anniversary of his wife's death. He had it was totally unexpected. They were hiking one day up in the mountains, and they didn't know that she had some kind of a heart condition, and she basically passed away in his arms about a year ago. And so this year has been a year of healing for him and the kids, and he's still planning to move to San Julian very soon with a couple of his daughters. And just to talk to him and see how God has sustained him through this, and that he's still a minister. He's still out there serving the Lord and willing to make great sacrifices for the kingdom. So that's Jeff. Okay. The things that we did while we were in San Julian, one of the things that we did was to minister to as many local churches as we possibly could while we were there. And they know a lot of the pastors there, a lot of the churches there. So we actually had 7 services, actually 9 services in 6 days while we were there. Just going from church to church, doubling up, tag teaming. And we visited all these different churches. Lindsay said, I got my month worth of church in 1 week. Because she went with us. She went with us to a lot of them. This was our first stop, Church of Christ. This was outside San Julian in one of the nicer facilities, actually, that we saw. To the right is Daniel's Pastor Omar. I just got to meet him this trip. Wonderful brother in the Lord. Excellent brother in the Lord. Just starting his work. He's an electrical technician. And that's what he does during the day. He works with power lines. And then he travels 2 hours from San Salvador to attend to his church. Now, you should know, in El Salvador, they have most of the churches have 6 evening services a week and a Sunday morning. So, if you think you have to go to church a lot, they meet, they literally have 6 services. I think they only take Monday off. That's it. That's the only, and most of them. And a lot of these little villages will have, you know, they'll be real small, but there'll be 3 or 4 churches, and they're holding services every week. This, again, was at that first church that we were at. Daniel preached there. And, of course, everyone was just taken with Lindsay. I mean, her and I were the only blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids, anywhere. And so she just, you know, people would come up and give her rings. People would come up and say hi to her. And she started to learn how to say things like, Gloria a Dios, glory to God, or Dios le bendiga, which means God bless you. And, of course, we got the buenos dias, the buenos tardes, and I'm probably still not saying it right, buenos noches, and various things like that. So that was part of the church experience when we went there. I'll show some other pictures of some other churches in a little bit. Just so you know, when you go to these churches, they are... most of the churches that we went to were what you would call highly Pentecostal, very, very charismatic. You see a lot, and they are very passionate worshipers. Lots of times they'll open their services on their knees, the whole church, on their knees, just seeking God's face, everyone praying at the same time. They start their worship. Their music usually goes an hour and 10 minutes. And I will be honest with you, they use way too much keyboard. It's all keyboard, and it's like, and every song, if you don't understand the language, it all sounds the same. And they turn the bass up, and it's just, I mean, it is so loud. In some places you leave, and it's your ears are ringing. And we ask, why so loud? I mean, unbelievably loud. And a lot of them say they want to preach the gospel so that everybody in the community can hear. And so that's how they're preaching the gospel to their community. And little do they know that all they're doing is making their neighbors very mad. Because they do it in the morning, they do it in the evening, and it's just a kind of a misunderstanding. We're to preach the gospel with our lives. Out one-on-one with people, not necessarily blasting people out of their beds in the morning with the music. Okay, so at the evenings we would go to various churches and preach and minister. The main purpose for going, though, was we did a pastors' conference. About 50 local pastors and regional pastors and their wives and their leaders. And they showed up, and we did a 3-day conference. And the structure was one of us would teach, and then there would be a time of discussion where we had questions, and we'd get all the pastors together and talk. And the theme this year was reconciliation. Now, we have done things like teach hermeneutics. We've done things like teach verse-by-verse expository teaching, various things like how to study, real pastoral kinds of things. But this time we decided to open it up to a lot of people. And we talked about this very important concept called reconciliation. It is very important. There is a lot of jealousy. There is a lot of competition. You know, one church turns their speakers up, and another church turns theirs up a little louder. And it just, I mean, there's a lot of infighting in that area. In fact, I heard a story about how one person was going through a hard time, and another pastor of another church that person didn't attend to saw that person on the street and said, I'll pray for you. Prayed for that person. A couple of days later, that person's pastor called the other pastor and said, how dare you pray for one of my people? What do you think you're doing? You're stepping outside of your territory. And of course, the one that got prayed for is like, huh? You know, it's just kind of crazy. So Kathy is doing very well with Spanish. So is David. And she's also learning how to play the guitar. And she's just got the voice of an angel. And so she was helping to lead worship along with the other guy. I forgot his name, but he's kind of her tutor in guitar. So here's kind of a look at the pastor's conference, and I will tell you this, very, very hot in that warehouse, almost like a sauna, although we were blessed. This was one of the coolest weeks that they've had in El Salvador all year, and so we were blessed in that respect, and the rain was refreshing. But they've come in the past where it was almost unbearably hot. So Daniel got day one, or day two, and he was teaching. And of course, we're all English speakers, so we had to have a translator. And we had various translators with us, really good translator. This kid right here, his name is Jorge. He's a college student in San Salvador. He's like 22. And he's just got a mastery of the English language and the Spanish language. And it's absolutely miraculous how we even ran into Jorge. Another pastor that has gone on a trip to San Julian was in a convenience store somewhere in Vancouver, somewhere up in Portland. And he was mentioning to the clerk how he was going to El Salvador. And I don't know why they got in a discussion about that. The kid behind him said, "You're going to El Salvador? I'm from El Salvador." That was Jorge. Jorge had been in the States for a few reasons, and he was going back, and he was going to get back just in time for the conference that I went on last time. And we got his number. We looked him up. We came. We met him. He's a born-again believer. He is a dynamic speaker. Wonderful. And this guy has like become one of our main translators when we show up. And all for talking about El Salvador to a Circle K clerk. Really amazing how God puts those pieces together. And he's just been a brilliant translator. Here's a few of the pastors that showed up. This guy in the middle, now there were some testimonies given, and this guy in the middle apparently had been in prison for murder. And he was serving a 30-year sentence. And he was paroled after 11 years, and while he was in prison, he'd gotten saved. And after prison, he became a pastor. And so it's an amazing story. After a while, they found out that I could play guitar, and so they wanted to do some English songs. Because I couldn't do the Spanish songs, obviously. But they just thought it would be really cool if we do some English and some Spanish. And so a couple of songs at every worship set we would do. Some of the songs that they knew in English, and then Kathy could lead them in the Spanish part. It was a lot of fun. It was a great, great experience for me and for... I got Saturday. Saturday was the third day of the conference, and my topic was the messiest, I think. They gave me the messiest on purpose. They talked about reconciliation with God and then preaching reconciliation to the lost. My job was reconciliation among the body on the horizontal level. And so, remember, I'm talking to some pastors who don't like it when other pastors pray for people that come to their church. And so I had to be very, very tactful, but strong. And just talk about how, you know, if we're not reconciled with one another, how do we expect to be fruitful? And we talked about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. If you're taking your gift to the altar and you discover that your brother has an offense or you're offense against him, leave your gift at the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brother and then come back and offer your sacrifice. So we went over that, and it seemed to go over pretty well. We'll see how things are later. Here's an example of the discussion group then. Then after the teaching, we'd do about 45 minutes of discussing. They broke down into small groups and shared their answers out loud, and we all had a good discussion. It was, it was beautiful. Those pastors very rarely get together. And here we had a room full of them. And they were singing together, and they were discussing together. And I just think it's going to be a great, great work. On the last day, we had a big lunch for them. And so, chicken, rice, and papooses. Anybody ever heard of a papoose? Those are awesome, man. I was loving that. They're like flattened tortillas. Or not flattened tortillas. Those are already flat. Flattened tamales. Kind of. Or like gorditas. That's right. Yeah. Very, very, very good. Although I probably had way too many of them while I was there. But this was something that we all just provided. Our churches together provided the meal. We rented the hall. We took care of all the expenses. It was just, people were saying, do we need to give an offering? Because they give offerings. You know all those six services? They give offerings. And that bag gets placed, it gets passed. And so they just couldn't, they were like, where do we give our offering? And we said, no, free. Free gift from us, just to bless you guys. And it was really a nice touch. While we were there this time, and the porters have been there since January, so you can imagine what it would be like to move, and how it's great to find familiar faces, people that speak English. They have run across some missionary families now that are there. And this is one particular family that we ran into. If you can see the older lady in the back, she has been ministering in El Salvador for 27 years. She went at 50. She's healthy. It's an amazing story. The other three have been ministering in El Salvador for 14 years. And I'll show you a little bit about them in a little bit. Of course, Maddie and Lindsay helped serve. So I just wanted to show. They were a part of that, and they were out serving these meals. Well, what a neat thing for kids, just to be involved in that kind of a way. This was a church that I preached in. This was a Wednesday night, so this was a week ago. While you guys were here, I was doing this a week ago, Wednesday night, at this place called Apocalypsis, Revelation 21, the Church of the Prophet. Very interesting church. This is one of the churches where on Sunday mornings the men and women are divided. And you'll see the women that wear the head coverings. And so this is where I taught, and if you can see, there's a lady with a head covering right there, a little girl. Now, I wanted to show you the guy working with me, the translator. That's Jaime. His name is Jaime, and we've been working with him for several years when we go there. Just a fun guy. Just one of those big, lovable guys. And he works with us when we're there. So here's the whole team. that was there when we ministered. And, of course, at every place we would introduce everyone. And the porters, if they didn't know them, would, you know, get to know them and get to make connections. The guy in the orange shirt from the left part of the picture between just next to the Porter family, that's the pastor of that church. And he didn't show up to the pastor's conferences. He's not sure what he thinks about us Americans right now. But he did let us have an opportunity to preach there. And we'll see what happens. I wanted to show you, this is a typical church. This was in Guadalupe. This is up in the mountains. That's the road that you take to get up. And it had been raining. That was a scary drive. Let me just tell you that. It was a scary drive. There was eight of us in a van. To the left, you see the church. There's your lobby. There's your entrance into that church. Pretty interesting, huh? That's what it looks like once you get in. You know, everything's metal roof. Those windows are open. There's no screening. The acoustics are very loud, coupled with how loud the speakers are and how loud they crank it up. So there's another church that we went to. I don't know what they think about me, and maybe I'm the crazy American, the loco. But when I get up, I pull out my camera. And I say, I want to take a picture of you. And they all go, huh? And I take a picture of them. And Jeff's kind of freaking out on me, too. He thinks I'm loco. See him in the front row. And one time they weren't smiling, so I made him take another picture. And I said, you need to smile. And so they smiled. So that's kind of a picture from the pulpit area. And that's a picture of Jeff, who gave the word that night. His interpreter was a guy by the name of Elmer. He is the one who is tutoring Kathy in Spanish. He is not a believer yet. And so we are really, really working on him. And, of course, having to interpret Christian sermons, we're hoping that maybe he'll get the message. But he is really, really close. He's really, really close to coming to Christ. There's another church in El Salvador. That's outside. That's in the rain. Again, just open and a metal shingles, metal sheets as a roof. There's how many of them start. Check it out. Many of them just on their knees, and that's how they start their services. In this church, again, some of the little ones were really taken with Lynn's. And they would come up and just want to talk and say, and they would say, and the moms would say, oh, bonita, bonita, little pretty princess girl. Because she looked so, absolutely different from the rest of the folks. And they don't see the blonde blue very often. So she just really had a great time meeting many of the people. And she had a great experience, a really, really good experience, getting her feet wet in missions. That's Jorge again. That picture captures Jorge. He's just a happy guy. This guy is so much fun and just so vibrant and so filled with life. And what's great is the translator, you know, when I preach, I can be very, you know, animated and tone matters so much. He captures that. So he doesn't just say, whatever I said, he also does it. Kind of the way I do with the right inflection and everything, and the way anybody would do that. So he's just a great guy. I wanted to show you this one. That's a church. This is in a place called Lourdes. And this was probably the most dangerous place that we were at for our mission trip. Lourdes had been a center of gang activity. It was a place of violence. You know, so I was nervous going to this one. But the guy that we went with said that this was the safest of the place, the whole city. Basically, there was an earthquake in El Salvador in January of 2001. And it absolutely destroyed parts of Lourdes, right in that area, and real close to the region. Everything was leveled. Many of the nations of the world helped. They sent money. And with that money, they cut down a bunch of coffee fields, bunch of area, and they just built shacks, really, for earthquake survivors without a home. And over the last 8 years, that's where these people have lived and grown. And this is a church planted right in that area. I wanted you to see that. Do you see the rain? It was a torrential downpour that morning. It was crazy. Even though it's a torrential downpour, they're still plugging things in outside, you know. They got their sound system there in the back. And, you know, under that roof, that was the worst place. Of course, that's where it rained the hardest. You could barely hear yourself think. Just, and then the ba-boom, boom, boom of it. It was just, whoa. But they came to church. They walked to church in the rain. They do have a van and they're able to go pick up some people. But for the most part, everyone walks to that church. And, you know, rain keeps people away from church in America. And we have cars. And rain doesn't keep people from church in El Salvador. And so that was my assignment that Sunday morning. So this last Sunday, and Ernesto was preaching here, I was preaching there. And by the way, we were on the same time zone. We're exact same time. El Salvador and San Julian and El Paso. So we were doing this while you guys were doing it here. And it was, I just thought, how cool to have that experience. And here we had an opportunity to do some English songs. That's looking out the window from inside. And that's me trying to preach above the rain. And we did okay. My translator was the daughter of that one couple that I showed you earlier. Her name is TC, basically born and raised on the mission field. A skillful linguist, you know, translator in Spanish, English. Her and her parents are amazing. They have planted 5 churches in El Salvador in the last 14 years. 4 of them they've given over to natives. They've trained up pastors to do it. This is the church that they're working on now. And so they're doing that. They're also doing Bible school for other pastors and leaders. at that particular service, we had a number of people come forward, and we were able to pray for people. And, you know, it was just a sweet time. It was a sweet, sweet opportunity how the Holy Spirit moves despite the rain, despite the language barrier. God is good. God just does great stuff. And then after church, they walked home. There's the muddy village. The muddy, they call that, we look at that road and it looks like the road to nowhere. It seems to go right into a hill. But we actually did end up driving a few of them home, and we went down that road, and you hang a right when you get down to it, and you find yourself right in this earthquake community, refugee camp. It's not that bad. Everyone's living on their own and everything, and they all have places to stay. But that's where they're at, and that's where they meet. That's what they do. After that particular Sunday morning, we went to breakfast at a really nice place, lunch at a really nice place, almost like a resort. This couple took us out. They took us out for lunch. They paid for all of us. And it was his birthday. He said, I want you to be a part of my birthday party. And by the way, I'm going to pay for it. And so, and he would not let us pay. He wouldn't, you know, we tried. He would not let us. So we sat there and we had a really good time there. I did not get as sick this time as I did last time. And that is probably because I packed a lot of power bars and water with me. No, I'm just kidding. I did pack power bars, but the porters made very sure that we ate, you know, everything was sanitized and everything was okay for us. And everywhere we went, they were assured that they had sanitized everything. You know, it's not just, you can't drink the water, right? You'll get sick. So everything's bottled water. But you forget many times that they wash their lettuce and the vegetables and things like that in water. And that's where I got it the last time, I'm convinced. But Dave and others know that you put all the vegetables in a bowl of water and they put a couple drops of this, I don't know what they call it, parasite killer. And it takes care of all the parasites. Doesn't that sound fun? It takes care of all of that before you eat it. I just wanted to show you another picture of this dear couple. John and Lottie. 14 years on the mission field here. Before that, they were several years somewhere in Mexico. I forgot where they told me. But, man, servants of the Lord. They know Spanish. They've learned Spanish. They live with the people. They were in the house when that earthquake struck. And they were telling me the story how they're watching their... They're in this house that's just rocking back and forth like they've never seen before. They were able to get out. After it was over, he said it was just silent. Just silent. And then pretty soon they started to hear the helicopters and the planes that are coming over taking pictures. And they lived through that. Those two and their daughter. And then they helped churches get relocated. They helped people get relocated. John told me that four of their churches exist, as he called it, right at the gates of hell. Because it is in Lourdes, and there are gang. They know the gangsters. The gangsters have come to John. And the only reason they haven't given him a hard time is because they know he helps poor people. And that's why. But they have had, they did have a guy get shot at one of their services. Several years ago, it's like 6 years ago, they were having an all-night service. An all-night prayer meeting. And I guess apparently some gangsters came in. They had gotten it started and then they had left. Some gangsters came in and wanted to rob all the people where they sat. All their money, what little of it they had, jewelry, all the sound equipment. They took it off the stage. and they were just robbing the place. And they came to one guy in the congregation who was packing. He had a gun. And a lot of, now after the fact, they say that he was probably an old gangster guy that had gotten converted, but he still packed his gun. And so they took him out and shot him right there. And just crazy stuff that you just can't imagine. And they've been through it, and they're dealing with it. I had to show this picture. This is a Sunday night. Their little church is gathering. And this is the first time my little girl led the group in a worship song all by herself. Blessed be thy name. Blessed be your name. She knows those three chords. And she led us in English. And I was just so proud. I was just, they had to pick me up off the floor. So well, after several days of being around in different churches and preaching and whatnot, our last day, Monday, we took as a rest day. And we didn't know what we were going to do. It was raining like crazy. And the kids knew that there was a beach. And Lindsay even says, I wanted to go on this trip for the beach. So she knew that she wanted to go to the beach, and we thought we'd try to go to the beach. But it was just raining like crazy. We looked at the weather forecast, 96% chance rain. And it was just drenching. And we're sitting in San Julian, and we're wondering, what are we going to do? And Daniel and Jeff and I and the porters were sort of just talking about long-term planning and visions and stuff that we'd like to see take place over there. And they kept bugging us, when are we going to go? When are we going to go? When are we going to go to the beach? I said, we don't know if we're going to be able to. It's going to be rainy. We might have to just stay here and do something here. And those kids prayed. They prayed. It cleared up. So we got in the car. We went. And here's what was so cool. The Lord blesses in so many ways. Jorge's uncle is a member of this resort country club. And with his membership, he can allow anybody in for free. And so our whole mission team went into this beautiful country club courtyard. I'll show you some more shots of it. And Lindsay said she was praying for that 4% clearing. And they got it. And so we went and we stayed, had a delightful afternoon just resting, had a good meal there. I just think that is a cool picture. That's the beach right off El Salvador. And you can see that it was very cloudy, but it didn't rain on us at all. And when they were in the pool, it even looked like the sun was a spotlight shining on them. It was just so cool. So that they were spent some time at the beach. And they did get in it. They got in and rolled around in the waves. Lindsay and Maddie just had a great time together. And Jonah, too. Jonah is a great kid. Oh, man. He's funny. He's got the line of the week. He told me that he missed hot showers more than he does some relatives. Twelve-year-old kid. And you do. That's all you have is cold showers there. I mean, the type of cold showers that never warm up and you never get used to. I mean, you get under it. Oh, it just takes all of So he says, I miss hot showers more than I do some relatives. So this is Daniel and I. Just a really, really good guy. And him and I have really gelled together. He's a just strong brother, good pastor, has a vision for missions. And I really am glad that he's gotten in touch with me and he's kind of pulled me into this, and it's just been a great experience. Here's the gang. Daniel, myself, Jeff, and Dave. And then Dave and Kathy, of course. I want you to see their faces, and I want you to see their family. And I want you to pray for them. I want you to make them a part of your prayer list. And I do want us to become more a part of their life. My respect for them is amazing. You know, it's funny, when they were in Juarez, all they had to do was cross the river and they'd be in America. You know, now they're stuck. They are in Central America. They are in that part of the world that can be very, you know, very, very tough and harder to live in. But by the way, even though you talk about living condition stuff in places like El Salvador or Juarez, being tough, something that we as Americans aren't used to, the faith of Christians in those places is alive, vibrant, much more so than a lot of Christians here in America who have everything. But in those places, people that people love, you know, that's all they have. They have the Lord. And so they live depending upon Him. And so that was my last picture, basically, that I took. We left soon after that picture was taken. We drove back to the Porters on Monday night, and then Tuesday morning we got up and we drove to San Salvador, which is about an hour and a half from San Julian. And by the way, that road is scary. There are traffic laws, they say, but it can be a scary drive. Jeff has seen dead bodies on the side of the road. From motorcycle accidents and things like that. But we did make it. We made it back to our plane. We got on and we came back over. And it was a great experience. I wanted you to see a little bit of it. The long-term plans in San Julian are to continue to meet. The Porters are on the ground there. Jeff will soon be there. And the goal is to get people more of an interaction with the pastors and then spread out regionally. And then hopefully we can get a Bible school started over there to help pastors. There needs to be more of a biblical teaching ministry in the church, at least from what I can see. They've got the passion. They've got the zeal. They love Jesus. They go. The biblical knowledge isn't there, you know, in a lot of ways, and that's because in a lot of ways they don't really preach kind of like in a verse by verse fashion. They don't go through the scripture in a logical way. And so what we've been trying to do is teach them how to do that, and model for them how to do that. And we'd like to teach more pastors how to do that gently, not coming in and saying, "We're American. This is how we do it in America. This is how you need to do it here." No, we want to respect their culture. But there's precedence in the Word of God to teach the Word of God logically, verse by verse and precept by precept. And so we're slowly but surely trying to make inroads into that. And there seems to be some excitement. There seems to be some understanding. Also, it's going to be a base of operations there in El Salvador, at least, with my contacts there. We have a place where we can start sending teams from our church. There's children's ministry opportunities that we can do. There's evangelistic outreaches that we can do in the plazas, in the parks. Renting out halls, inviting people. There's construction ministry that needs to be done. They have helped build churches over there. So we can put some really good trips together and send some folks and get over there and get involved. A week-long trip to El Salvador, including airfare and lodging, room and board, would be about $900. That's not bad. That's really not bad. If we have some advance warning and we have some fundraisers, maybe we can start sending some youth. Maybe we can send, you know, just a team of people that would like to be involved. And then one of the goals then would be to do what's been done in San Julian, kind of that's a base there, doing another one in another part of El Salvador. And there are a lot of unreached people in that area. There are some places up north. I should have had a map for you, but I forgot to put one in. And different parts of the country where we could do that same thing. Try to get in there and help and meet the Christians that are there and get involved. So, good stuff. All right. I was going to try to do a little Bible study tonight too, but we're out of time. And forgive me, you know, we got to get some things worked out where I can change slides quicker here. But thanks for your attention. Let's stand. Let's pray.